All of you are my spiritual children if you are my children. And if you're not, then you're somebody's children. And it's for sure if you ain't God's children, you must belong to the devil, because there ain't but two fathers. And Paul said, I've begotten you as a father in the gospel. You either belong to one or the other. That's for sure. If you belong to me, then you belong to the body of Christ. That means that God is your heavenly father. If you don't belong to the body of Christ, then that means the devil is your father. Jesus told him one time, he said, you're of your father, the devil. And said, his will and way, his thing in life, you're going to do. He said, I'm of my father, my heavenly father. I'm going to do his will. And this is the judgment day, folks. This is the manifesting day. This is the day when everything is going to come to light, because it's the judgment day. See, you've come to that great hour when God is going to judge you, and you're going to be turned into the lake of fire, or you're going to be turned into the wonderful paradise of God. It's the judgment hour. It's here. That time is here. So then, whatever you are on the inside, and whatever you have been on the inside, then that's, as the Bible said, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. You know, I like that scripture that says, righteousness exalteth the nation. I ministered the other night on, herein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, or from scripture to scripture. And righteousness exalteth the nation. The thing that exalted America was righteousness. Isn't that right? Righteousness is what exalted America. And that's what we need at Bethlehem, is righteousness. I want Bethlehem founded on the foundation of one thing, and that is righteousness. For the Bible said, he that is righteous even as he is righteous. If righteousness exalteth the nation, then that's what we need, because we are a peculiar people, a nation of God. And we need his righteousness, that it might exalt us. And I believe today that America is in the condition she's in because she hath forsaken righteousness. I believe that when she was a righteous nation and she sought the righteousness of God, that God picked her up as a little people and exalted her and made her the head of all the nations. And I believe that because America turned away from God and turned away from righteousness, that God hath brought her all the way down. And today she is a stink in the nostrils of God. I believe that. I believe America literally stinks in the nostrils of God. You say, Brother Pike, you don't really feel that way about America, so help me God. I'm telling you my heart. You say, well, I don't feel that way. Well, maybe I'm wrong about it. You got your thoughts, I got my thoughts. But this is my concept of it. From what I've known about God and understood about the people and the ways of America, I understand that she literally stinks in the nostrils of God. She has become so corrupt, so evil, and so wretched, and so religiously filled with hypocrisy, until the Bible teaches, not only does she stink, but he says she is vomit on my table. You brought and filled my tables with vomit. He called it lukewarmness, saying, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And I believe that that's the kind of condition that the church is in. For he said, you're wretched, blind, miserable, naked, lay out of sin, don't know nothing. And I believe that's the age we're living in. All of the tables of God, he said, are filled with vomit. Think about that. Now, where is the table of God? The church. You mean to tell me that the Pentecostal table is filled with vomit? And the Baptist table is filled with vomit? And the Catholic table is filled with vomit? And the non-denominational tables is filled with the vomit? And the UPC tables are filled with vomit? You mean to tell me that all of those tables are filled with vomit? The Methodist table is filled with vomit? He said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. And what is vomit? Lukewarm, spew you out of my mouth. So then, what kind of day is this that we're living in? It's a terrible day. It's a terrible day. I want to read a little bit from the Lamentations, the weeping prophet. And I'd like to Just read a little bit here from the third chapter, the first verse. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humble in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. That is thy faithfulness. The Lord is thy portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto him that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled with reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion, according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass? When the Lord commandeth, is it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain, thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare has come upon us, desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye twinkleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chase me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flow over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the cause of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. The lips of those that rose up against me and their device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. Render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. Now you know, this is speaking of Jesus, as most of you know. It's prophetical utterance where the Holy Ghost is speaking through this morning prophet. The prophet himself, no doubt, is not aware that this is prophetical utterance, that it's the Holy Spirit speaking through him. But it's the Lord Jesus saying, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. And he goes on to explain how that God hath broken his teeth with gravel, how that God has set him for his mark, how that God has smitten him, and how that he's been cast into the dungeon. And he goes on to say how that those that have done me after this fashion, Lord, he said, persecute and destroy them. That is to say, those that will not believe on me, having treated me this way, Lord, didn't let them be persecuted. You know, but here in this, he tells us that what we should do, that we should search out our and try our ways, and then he tells us that we ought to turn again unto the Lord. After that we have searched out our ways, after that we have tried our ways, then he tells us that we ought to turn again unto the Lord. You know, this evening I was using a little thought concerning being caught in the wilderness. The people of today are so much like the children of Israel. The people of today are caught in the wilderness. They're caught in the wilderness and they don't know how to get out of it. They are wandering around from place to place, constantly caught in the wilderness, not knowing how to get out of the wilderness, and yet the way to escape the wilderness is right there with them. The way to escape has been with them all the time, but as it was in the days of Moses, when God brought Israel out of Egypt, God could have taken Israel right over into Canaan land, and God so desired to take Israel over into Canaan land. It was God's plan just to move the children right on into Canaan. But when he brought them up to the crossing, they began to mumble. They began to grumble. Fear overwhelmed them. And they were afraid of the giants, and so they drew back, and they wouldn't go in at the words of the man of God. So then, immediately, the way was closed up and they couldn't find their way. See, Moses was the way. 40 years they wandered around in a circle in the wilderness, trying to find the way. Everybody looking for the way. The great leaders looking for the way. Mumbling and grumbling and complaining. Everybody looking for a way out of the wilderness, saying, this man Moses, did he bring us out here into the wilderness to let us die? How do we get out of this wilderness? But see, Moses was with them, and Moses was the way out. Moses had spent 40 years in that place. He knew that place. He knew all about it. All he had to do was just take them right up to Canaan, over the Jordan, and that was it. But see, they wouldn't obey leadership. They wouldn't submit themselves to the ministry. They wouldn't follow the leadership that God had set in their midst. And because of that, they couldn't find their way. That's the same principles that we have today. People today say, where's the way out of here? Say, well, come on, let's go to church. Now, I don't need nobody to teach me. I got a Bible of my own I can read for myself. I'm not an ignoramus. And so then they bypass the ministry. They bypass the man of God. They bypass the word of God. And 2 years later, they're still in the wilderness. They're still having problems. They still can't get straightened out. And say, well, what's wrong? What's wrong with this church world, you know? Why, we're just going around and around and around. How do we get out of here? But Moses was with them all the time. Moses was right there. Moses was waiting. Every day Moses was waiting to hear those words, "Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, Moses, I'm sorry. Let's get right with God. Let's line up with God and let's get out of this wilderness." But see, they wouldn't do that. They were haughty, hateful, self-willed, jealous, resentment, despiteful workers, always doing something to interrupt the program of God. They couldn't live with the wives. They wanted divorces. They couldn't get along with their children. They couldn't get along with the leaders. They're always causing problems. Until God said, "Just give them a divorce, Moses. Just let them do like they want to. Just keep them together. Keep them quiet. Oh, let's just let them wander around and around and around and around. And after a while, they'll all be dead." Somebody say amen. I said, God determined in his heart that because they would not go in when he told them to go in, that he was going to let them wander around in the wilderness till every last one of them died. And so he did. They mumble and grumble and went contrary to God till every one of them died in the wilderness. Now that's bad, isn't it? Every one of them died in the wilderness. Finally, God took Caleb, Joshua, the only two that had come out with him that he spared. The only two. He took them and he took them over into the Canaan land by taking the children. By taking the children, they went over into the Canaan land. But he let them wander till every one of those elders died. Every one of those that has spoke against the ministry. Folks, you don't understand how serious it is to speak against the ministry. But somebody would say, "But Brother Pike, that was back under the law." Well, we don't have to be like that today. We don't have to worry about things like that. But folks, the Bible said that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God is the same God, why doesn't he feel the same way? He must feel the same way. I know that we've got some grace. I realize that we've got some grace. I understand that we got some grace, but they had some grace too. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, not just at Calvary. It was only made manifest at Calvary. Names were written down in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world, not from Calvary. Isn't that right? See, the thing is, all of those that died in the long suffering of Noah, some of their names were in the Lamb's book of life. For the Bible teaches when Jesus came on the scene, he went down to the heart of the earth to preach to those souls that were in prison. You understand what I'm saying? They died in the wilderness because they displeased God. And the Bible said with many of them, God was not well pleased. For he took them out of Egypt, but they kept looking back into Egypt. They wouldn't stay out of Egypt. Their mind said, "Oh, I can make another dollar back yonder. Oh, they got such nice homes back yonder. Why, those clothing of the Egyptians, they just appeal to me so much." And their minds and their spirits still wanted to go back out into the world, back out into Egypt. See, the Bible said, "Cursed is the man that leaneth on the arm of flesh or goeth down to Egypt for his help." I say this a lot of times. It doesn't matter if you do have an income from the world, and everybody just about has to have one if they're going to make a living. You're not supposed to confide in that. You're not supposed to lean on that. You're supposed to have your mind on God. God is supposed to be your exceeding great reward. God is supposed to be the one that you're trusting to feed you and pay your bills. You're supposed to look to God. Why, you can't look to the things of this world. You know you can't do that. How can you look to the things of this world? I was just thinking today. Did you know that when a man puts money in the bank to trust in, that statistics show that he loses an average of 10% with a regularity of all of his savings because of inflation? Somebody say, "I love Jesus." He is constantly losing it. Now he gets a little interest on it. A little interest on it while the big man uses his money. What a foolish thing. But nevertheless, the big man's using the money, gets a little interest, but he loses 10% because of the rising or because of inflation. Right now, did you know that your properties right here are worth more than twice what they was when they were built? And if it continues on till about 20 more years, the properties here will, looking back from the time of their erection, will be worth about five times your investment. Things are going up. Inflation is setting in. What is that? And yet we look to the world for security. We look back into Egypt trying to find a helping hand. Instead of trusting in God, instead of loving the Lord and praising God for deliverance, we go back, we get entangled again in those things out there in the world. And the Bible said the latter end is worse with us then than the beginning. Today, it's a horrible day, folks, that we're living in. This is a terrible day that we're living in. I made mention today as we were making our broadcast. Did you know that in a period of 10 years, there has been over 9,504,000 abortions. America is a mass murderer. What I mean, that's legalistic. That's legalized. They legalize murder in America. What is it? Wandering in the wilderness. Wandering in the wilderness, folks. Is that right? Does God give people the right to do that? What is it? Leaning on the arm of flesh. Can you imagine that many lives being taken? Did you know that if you figure that up, it's been figured out, and that is equal to more deaths. Considering a war, it's equal to more deaths than the loss on both sides of the aggressor and the defender. More deaths in abortion than in a war in a century, coming from both sides of the fighters. And we talk about wonderful America. I say she stinks in God's nostrils. I believe she literally stinks in God's nostrils. I think about Carter. I believe he's a fine man. I really do. I believe he's got some real fine ideas. But there ain't no way Carter can balance the national budget. There isn't any way. How can he? The bills have got so much. The deficit is so great. The national spending is slapped out of reason. It has got to the point to where a natural man, the average man, can't even comprehend the figures. It is so great. Where I believe it is said in about 1913, when the Federal Reserve was established, we owed about $1 billion as a national debt. But now what do we owe? We owe $7 trillion. Are you listening? $7,428,000,000,000 is our national debt, and America's debt comes up to $10 trillion, which they say is an average of $100,000 for every American, which is an average of $48,000. For every person in the world, man, woman, boy, or girl. How in the world can Jimmy Carter or anybody else cope with a thing like that? And we talk about taxes. We're going to tax somebody and we're going to balance the budget. That's absurd. There's no way you can do a thing like that. We've got perhaps maybe $10 billion of gold in Fort Knox, and something like 80 or 90 billion foreign claims against it, plus maybe 160 billion printed certificates that's no good, that's against it. And we talk about balancing the budget. There ain't no way that you can survive what it is. You're in the wilderness. You're in the wilderness. Why? Because we rejected the cornerstone. We thought we were smart. We thought we could figure it out. We figured we could do it. We've got schools. We're educated. We can go down to Egypt for our help. But brother, we turned out to be a bunch of fools. That's what it is. Why did they wander in the wilderness? All because they wouldn't listen to their leader. They wouldn't listen to Moses. He was there all the time. Isn't it a true fact that Jesus has been with us all the time? Hasn't he been with us all the time? Hasn't he tried to lead us all the time and talk with us? They made fun of him. They called him holy rollers and everything else. And they've hatched out reprobates for leaders and called them ministers and priests. And the real man of God that spent his time on the knees communing with God, that had a prophetical vision, they pushed him aside. How in the world is a nation like this going to survive? They got what they call the HEW, the HUE, or the health, education, and welfare. Spending an average of $20 million per hour. For what? Tell me, what are they spending it for? They're not spending it because I give them permission to spend it. Not because you give them permission to spend it, but yet it's your money that they're spending. And I said the other day, a report showed at $1 million per minute, they're suspending your money. Or $40,000 or $50,000 per second, your money. Who give them permission to do that? What it is, righteousness exalteth the nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. They are in a wilderness. Everybody said, hey, I got the answer over here. Elect me president, put me in. I know how to do it. I'm here to tell you, nobody don't know how to do it but Jesus. The Bible said, in that day, no man shall save them. No man shall save them. Christ alone shall be exalted. All of them run out. The great orators, the great people, the great leaders, the great presidents, the great masterminds, all of them have run out, my brother. There's nobody left but Jesus. We're going to have to call on God. We're going to have to come to Christ, come to the Word. If we ever get this thing straight, there ain't no way to get out of it. They wandered around for 40 long years. They wandered till they died. Too hard-headed, too stubborn, too rebellious to admit they're wrong and confess their evils and turn and call on God. Isn't that the way the world is today? Hard-headed, rebellious, stubborn. Why are they like that? Why are they like that? You know, it's time for a move of God. It's time for a new thing. That's what it is. When George Whitefield come and emerged on the scene in the early days of America, preached the gospel, and everything was depressed and everything was cast down and having separated from the old country, and everything just looked like it was just going to be turning to havoc. And old brother George Whitefield come preaching the gospel. And history said there was a revival springing up. Said when that revival that Whitefield preached, it got into the hearts of the people. And 30 and 25,000 people at one time began to be shook, began to be baptized, began to want God. It affected the schools, it affected everything. And then America was established. See, but look at our day. When Jimmy got up and was going to quote a little scripture, some of the great statesmen said, oh no, Jimmy, don't do that. Jimmy was going to quote the scripture. When he started to go into office, he picked out the scripture. Said, now I'm going to quote the scripture. If my people that are called by my name, if they'll turn away from their evil, repent of their sins, and call on me, I'll hear from heaven and heal the land. Oh no, Jimmy, they said, don't you dare do that. And I read the little article. Well, why can't you do that, Jimmy? Said, because the people will think you're self-righteous. And they'll think you're saying they're bad and you're good. What a bunch of hypocrites. If Jimmy had any understanding at all, he turned around. And he told him, he'd say, I'm going to tell you what God told me to tell you. Now, wasn't that the right scripture? Didn't God give him the right thing? Isn't that what he ought to have told him? He told him everything else and it hadn't worked. But if he told him that, that would have worked. Right then, they had a great respect for Jimmy. And he would have got that thing over right then. And he made the statement. He said, I still believe I was right that I should have quoted that scripture. And brother, he was right. He was right. But what is it? It's just one great big wilderness. What are we going to do about it? See, you say, well, Brother Pike, what can we do about it? Mass murder? Legalized? What are we going to do about it? Drunkards? Dope addicts? Everything just gone crazy. I know one thing. Are you going to try to pay $10 trillion so you can save your government? Well, you couldn't do it if you wanted to. You couldn't do it. The average person don't ever make $100,000 to give to the government. How in the world are you going to do that? There ain't no way you can do that. Somebody say, I want to save my government. Brother, it's time for a new government. That's what it is. That government has done run its course. It's gone. There's no need of us trying to save it. Pay the salaries of a bunch of playboys up there in Washington to do more and more damage and cause more problems and more trouble. The thing to do is forget about that thing and find the Word of God and remember the government is to be upon the shoulders of the sons of God and pray that God will bring in the true government. And pray that God will bring in the millennium government. Let that thing go on down the drain where it's headed. All it's doing is robbing the people and tearing the people down, promising everything and giving nothing. How in the world is 10 cents more on the gasoline going to help our situation? All it's doing is it's a bondage to the poor people. It's giving advantage to the rich man and putting the little man down under to where he won't be nothing but a slave. He'll be taken into slavery to where the devil can come in and just manipulate and do him like he wants to. That's what the whole thing is for. But the Bible said the beast will make both small and great take the mark of the beast. Working it around, everything around, to what? A computerized system, a number. You say, how can that be? By eliminating gold, that's all you got to do. You do away with the standards of gold, then you've got no money. Did you know that there's no determined standards of what legal money is? Did you know that? The government has no legal standards of what money is. I read where a man sent a certificate, you know, one of these American certificates, said, I want to cash it in. So they sent him a treasury note for it. He sent it back and said, I want my legal money. They wrote him back and said, it never has been determined in America what real money is. Now, isn't that a hypocritical thing? And you know what? You can look at it any way you want to, folks. But it is a true fact that they are not only robbing us by taxes that we know about, but they are robbing us by taxes we don't know about. It has been said that on one loaf of bread, it is taxed at least 100 times when you get a loaf of bread. And every time that they print up money, that means there's more dollars in circulation. That means whatever gold standard that they've got or coverage, $10 billion or whatever it would be, that means that the dollar is devaluated. That means if they print up as much certificates again as they already had, it makes the gold coverage just half of what it was. Because you wrote twice as much. on what you got. Ain't that right? When you do that, you know what that is? That is an undermining theft of the government that is stealing your money. It is a taxation that is not legalized. They are illegally taxing you by printing the money, changing the evaluation of the dollar, and your money is decreasing in value all the time. So then they're taking the money, and it's a taxes that you pay that didn't go through Congress. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You can look at it like you want to, but that's what it is. Whereas in the Old Testament, God straightway told them. He said that any false balances, he told Israel, the government, if any false balances is abomination in the sight of God, when you do those things, in your balances and all these things that you do in the measures and weights, he said, when you become crooked in it, he said, I'll visit you for that iniquity. See what they're doing? They're stealing from the people. They're robbing them blind. They're taking everything they got, and the people are not doing anything about it. Not anything. They're taking Social Security when the paper stated not too long ago that there isn't any money there to give you back. It's been put to the test. They said when it was put to the test, there's nothing to give you money back. But yet you go on paying it. Go on paying it. How do you understand what I'm saying? And you call that a government. You're going to trust in something like that. You're going to put your trust and confidence in a dollar that ain't no good. You know, I tried to tell you here a while back. Did you know that buildings is always going to be good as long as they stand? You can get in them out of the rain. They don't devaluate. When the rain comes, it's just as good to get in today as it was yesterday if you keep them up. Did you know that property is the same way? The property isn't going to go down. I know houses depreciate, but property isn't going to go down. There isn't going to be any change in property because more people are coming to the world, a greater multiplication. You got property. You can raise a piece of bread out here, as we say. How do you understand what I'm saying? I ain't loosening up a little because I ain't fixing clothes. You might as well. Now, the world is in a wilderness. They're in a wilderness. And because they're in a wilderness, that means that they're going to die and go into the flames of a lake of fire, all because they would not let the Lord Jesus have preeminence. All because they would not let God lead them. Have you listened a few minutes? I'll let you go. But if you get restless on me, I'll just preach a little longer. Because I ain't took that long, and we're going to listen to the Word of God now. I'm tired of devils and demons getting in a few people and robbing the children of God. So if you got to go, you just go. So then, people are in a wilderness today. And they can't get out of that wilderness. Not because Moses isn't with them. It isn't because Christ Jesus isn't with them. For the Lord has always been with them. He's never forsook the people. But they won't turn to Him. They won't call on Him. Like He told Jimmy Carter. Said, if they that are called by my name will humble themselves, if my people will call on me. Do you ever call on the Lord? How many of you here call on the Lord? How do you really take time to call on the Lord? If my people will call on me, I'll hear from heaven. My arm's not short that I can't reach you, that I can't help you in the time of a gas crisis. I can help you. But the situation isn't going to get any better. Folks, the situation isn't going to get any better. You know, we've got it in the back of our mind, well, Brother Pike, after a while, everything's going to level off. I'm here to tell you it isn't going to level off. It's going to be worse next year than it is this year. And wicked men are not going to get better. The Bible said they're going to get worse. Think of abortion at the rate that I spoke of. Does that sound like things has gotten any better? Look at the rate of interest that keeps jumping and jumping and jumping. Does it sound like that it's got any better? Look at the national indebtedness. Does that sound like it's got any better? You know, when you talk about $1 trillion, a lot of people, they can't grasp that. Have you ever thought about what $1 trillion is? They have scientifically stated that if you took dollars and laid them end to end, that you'd have to go 4 million miles beyond the sun for $1 trillion. And here we are owing $10 trillion. $10 trillion. Now, what are we going to do? I tell you, I'm not going to try to pay them out of debt. I'm not going to try to pay them out of debt. You might try to do it, but I'm going to try to publish the gospel. I know they're going to get everything they can out of me. And very little I can do about it except pray. But brother, I ain't planning to try to pay them out of debt. For a bunch of boys to get up there and play around and have a good time in the White House and do the thing they do and get out here and play golf and ride up and down the road and do nothing. And for me to see what I saw when I was up there sitting in on Congress, joking and laughing over a turkey, I ain't planning to pay their salaries. You can if you want to, but I ain't planning to do it. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to try to give it to God and put my time in God. And if you're wise, you'll do the same thing. You'll do everything you can to give to God. To give to God. I do not believe that Jimmy Carter, nor any other president, nor any other leader, will ever straighten out the mess that America is in. America is finished. She's gone. Every dollar that comes off of the press brings about more inflation. How are you going to bring down inflation? Now I want you to listen for just a minute to see how silly the thing is. How can you bring down inflation by putting another 10 cent taxes on gas? What has that got to do with it? You might not have known this statement was made, but something was said to Ford concerning inflation. Sadat, over in Egypt, said something to him. You remember when New York went on the rocks, as we say, went bankrupted? Sadat asked the question, said, well, I'd love to know one thing. Said, what is the difference between Washington and New York in that New York has gone bankrupt? You know what Ford answered him? Ford said one thing. Said, we got the printing presses in Washington. Now, can you imagine our president talking like that? See, he knew he couldn't say there was any difference. All he could do was print up some more worthless money. But folks, that's wrong. That's wrong when they do that. That's theft when they do that. If you got a dollar in your pocket and they print up more money without your consent, then that devaluated the dollar that you had in your pocket. If you put $1,000 in the bank and they print up more money, your $1,000 become almost worthless according to whatever they printed up. They stole your money and took it away from you and devaluated your dollar. They did it, and they did it without your consent. They didn't ask your permission. Now, is that God? Is that right? Is that legislation? Is that what our fathers founded this country on? I made the statement today. The men that signed the Declaration of Independence, there were several things that they knew. One thing that when they signed that their entire fortune was at stake. Another thing was that their life was at stake. And another thing was that their honor was at stake. And the 56 of them that stood by it, according to history, something happened to just about every one of them. I believe it was every one of them. They died in poverty or something happened to them. But they stood right there, right down to the last thing to see that America was established. But where is the men of today that's like that? Money hungry, gullible people. They ain't going to put their money at stake. They ain't going to put their honor at stake. They ain't going to put their lives at stake. They ain't going to stand with nobody. Let the few little people that ain't got any bread hardly, that ain't got nothing, come together and struggle and grind. And where's the others? Oh, folks, I get beside myself. I know I do. But I ask the question, we talk about being a Christian while we're not even good Americans when we get like that. Did you know that? Why, those people were just good Americans. And they done that for humanity. What's wrong with our bunch of people? Here at Bethlehem, you try to establish something and everybody from the law on down the line wants to pounce on you. It's a bunch of devils. That's what it is. Satan is closing in for the kill, folks. We'd rather lay around on the laziness, as we say. Do nothing. Feed off of people. Be a bunch of parasites. And take our money and stuff our tummies with it. Instead of seeing souls saved and seeing hungry children fed, and instead of doing something for America to reestablish something here in this nation and around the world so that people can have a decent government or whatever. And it's sad to say, but when a president goes into office, he's got one thing on his mind. Somebody said, now what is that? Himself. You can figure it any way you want to, but he's got one thing on his mind, himself. You say, well, ain't that what he's supposed to have on his mind? Certainly not. He's supposed to have God on his mind. To meditate in his laws day and night like Washington, Lincoln, them did. He's supposed to have the people, the welfare of the people on his mind. You say, well, that's what the president's got on his mind. You can't tell me a president wants to get up and vote that our women should be taken off to war to pull my young daughter off into an army over there somewhere. He's got the welfare of the people on his mind. You call that good? That couldn't be right. That couldn't be right. All right, if I preach longer, I'll just holler louder. So I guess I better quit. Because I really do get beside myself. Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for the Lord. But I really do get beside myself. I hear so many people say and don't do, and so many that you know, I just get beside myself. That's all there is to it. Where are our leaders? Where are our real men? Where are our real women? Where are the real women? Especially of Bethlehem. I ought to have some real women here. I mean some real women, not a bunch of long-tongued gossipers, backbiting and tearing down. And every time somebody crosses them up a little bit, their feathers flop like an old wet hen. I'm talking about real women. I ought to have real women here. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'll say it again. I ought to have some real women here. Say, well, now don't you think you got some, Brother Pike? A few. A very few. A very few. The rest of them had rather just gossip, backbite, eat, drink, and be merry and frolic and go from house to house causing problems, grumbling and mumbling, dying in the wilderness. I need some good men here. I got a few of them. But I need some good men here. Some that won't say, but some that will do. Some that will do. Well, that was a good sermon. Now let's go home. Forget about all of this. And you that's got it, let's keep it. And you that didn't get it, it's just your misfortune. We'll be back for the next sermon. Isn't that the attitude? God have mercy on us. Brothers and sisters, I tell you one thing. When I'm standing up here, I'm speaking as the oracle of God. And the things I say up here, you better not forget them. You better not take that attitude. You better remember tonight and tomorrow and the next day too. And you better catalog these things, and you better start making adjustment in your life. And you better get your life to fit these things, because one of these days I'm going to be calling on you. One of these days God's going to be calling on you. One of these days God is going to call on you. He's going to come and knock on your door, and He's going to be calling on you. And when He does, He's going to expect something out of you. He's going to expect something out of you. You watch and see. And when He knocks on your door and He expects something out of you, if you haven't done something for Him, when the death angel starts passing through Egypt, at the midnight cry, you can be sure He's going to get that firstborn. Because He is going to see the blood applied. He's going to call on you. Some of you need to be called on, and He's going to call on you. He's going to call on you. You say, how do you know, Brother Pike? Because I'm going to pray to God that He'll call on you and make you show your color. I want Him to make you show your color. If you're a real man, I want Him to make you show it. If you're a real woman, I want Him to make you show it. And I believe He will make you show it. I've been praying for a good long while, and He's made a lot of them show their color of what they really are and what they're made out of. And I believe that He's going to make you do it. So then I want you to stand with me. You that love God, I don't have to ask God to make you do it. But you that just want to dilly-dally around and just play around, I'm going to ask God to bring you front and center and make you face the issue. And we're going to see what you're made out of. We're going to take you down to the proven grounds like they did in the days of Gideon, and we're going to find out how many of you really got the goods. Like Jim preached this morning, see how many of you are going to turn around and go back. You say, oh, I don't believe it. Watch and see if it don't happen. There's already been some provings, and there's going to be some more. I really believe it's coming here in the year of 80. I believe it's coming. I believe you're going to show your color here in the year of 80. And we're going to find out who you are. You know, a lot of times folks say, Brother Pike, who are you? I believe we're going to find out who you are in the year of 80. We're going to know something about who each other is. All right, let's stand together. You know, the babies start whining a little bit, and somebody said, now, don't he hear that baby? Don't he know it's time that to go home, that baby whining? They do that at the hospital all the time. A lot of them at one time, and they don't go home. They still stay all night. I don't see that's got anything to do with it, do you? Because the baby whines. Maybe the mother's restless. A lot of times mothers and daddies are so restless that the baby can't never have no rest. He can't be contented. They're so nervous and tore up until they keep the baby tore up. Well, now, Brother Pike, if you didn't talk like that, it'd be so easy to come here. If I didn't talk like it, wouldn't be no need for you to come here. It wouldn't do you no good. Let's sing a little chorus together. I feel this way about it. My wife has put up with me all these many years. You can put up with me for a few hours at a time, I know. Let's sing this little chorus. We'll give the glory to Jesus. How many believe we ought to give the glory to Jesus? I really like that chorus. To give the glory to Jesus. You know, folks, seriously, when somebody has really done you wrong, and you know that they've done you wrong, rather than getting upset, you ought to make a special effort to show them the love of God. If you got it in you, you will. Somebody would say, well, they said something about my wife, though, Brother Pike. That makes a difference. Most likely your wife said something about them. Chances are you might not have heard it, but most likely she did. That's probably what started the feud to start with. Well, they said something about my children. Most likely your child was at fault to start with, and you just didn't never take time to find out about it. Most likely. Well, I think they mistreated me. My neighbor encroached on my rights. Most likely you was the one that done it first, and you were just too blind to see it. That's probably what happened. You're just too blind to see it. But there's one thing for sure, that if you can show them a love of God, that'll take care of it. A soft answer turns away wrath. If you can show them the love of God, that's showing the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you need to do. I believe in rebuking a brother, but I believe in loving a brother too. I think you ought to rebuke a brother when a brother needs rebuking, but I believe you ought to love a brother when a brother needs loving too. Okay, let's sing this together, can we? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. You know, we got to do right, folks. It's like somebody just recently, they approached me. They was telling me about something that was said. And they were trying to defend somebody. Well, that's good. I don't blame them for that. That's wonderful. I'm glad to see people try to defend one another. But when a person's wrong, they're wrong. And in essence, they kept trying to say, well, I know, Brother Pike, you know that they said you said it, but you didn't say it. I said, well, what was it was said? And they told me, but I know you didn't say it. I said, yeah, I did. I said, yeah, I said it. I said, because that's the way it was. See, wrong is wrong, folks. We ain't supposed to take up for wrong. Can you sing that song again? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Sing it again. Let's give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. We'll give the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. You know, folks, if I got to have somebody's fellowship on the basis of compromising or upholding evil, I don't want their fellowship. I just don't want it. I'd rather not have their fellowship. I want the fellowship of people that love God. And I want the fellowship of people that want to stand against evil. I've come a long ways in my life. Should I now turn around and deny the truth and the things of God and the wonderful things of God and blind all the people that I have tried to be a light to down through the years? Should I turn around and be evil and be wicked and mess up everything that God has tried to do in showing a light through me to the people? I don't see you doing that. I think that's so cruel. You know, that's cruel. Even if I didn't care for myself, that would be cruel to the people. That's so unfair. So many people's faith and confidence is resting in you. And they're looking at you. And they're watching you. You might not think that they're watching you, but they're watching you. And if you don't believe they're watching you, you just go down or you turn aside and see how many people will say something about it. And then you'll realize how many was watching you. Isn't that right? So then let's go on with Jesus and let's stand for the truth. Don't try to hurt anybody, but don't compromise to get anybody's fellowship. If it's God in a person's life, if they love you, if they're a wise man, they'll stand with you. Even the more so as you stand for the truth. If you make a mistake and they prove you've made a mistake, be man enough to acknowledge it. Be woman enough to acknowledge it. Don't try to push over it and make it right when it ain't right. Don't be a hypocrite. Try to get around it and deny it. But don't compromise either when you know it's the truth. God is so good, isn't He? Let's lift our hands up to God. The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. While your hands are lifted up to God, I'm going to ask Brother Taylor as he comes to dismiss you tonight. I'm going to ask him to come and pray the prayer of benediction. I want you to lift your hands up tonight, and I want you to search your hearts, folks. Sunday night, won't be seeing you until Wednesday night, the Lord willing. That is, except for the men that will be at the men's meeting Monday night. But just lift your hands and hearts up to God and talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord and ask God to help you. Help, just say, Jesus, cleanse my heart. In the event, Lord, that I should press my death pillow between now and Wednesday and I don't get to see Brother Pike. In the event that I should cross over like Brother Ben Gahili did a few days back. Then, Lord, help me. You know, it reminds me, I had a vision last night, I believe it was, and I heard a voice say that Tom Carnes and Ben Gahili is together. like they were off in meeting or something. I don't know what it had to do with, but we need to remember Tom in prayer. I don't know what it has to do with. Maybe nothing, and maybe it does. It just come to my mind, thought I'd mention it, to ask you to pray for Tom. I believe Tom's a good boy and loves the Lord. And it might be something good. It might be something bad. I really don't know. I hadn't got anything out of it. But let's just pray. And let's ask God to purify our hearts. The Bible said He purifies our hearts by faith. And let's do our best to get our conscience right with God and man. Striving always, Paul said, to keep our conscience void of offense toward man and God. Don't let nothing come up in your heart toward man or God. Always keep a good conscience so your faith will be up to Jesus. And in the event that you press your dying pillow, you can just look up and say, Lord, oh Lord, have mercy on me.